B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your calls as promised. Sorry to circle back to the quarterback thing, but it's still here. It's still unresolved. And that's still a story to me. And all the reporting that you're seeing, yeah, they'll trade up for this guy. Now they'll wait for Garoppolo to shake free next year. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to be available next year. It just feels like we're casting about because I feel they're still casting about. And that still, to me, is a major, major story. So, sorry, until it resolves itself, I think that's the lead, as we like to say, although we did circle back to Julian Edelman today, and the Taylor Hall fallout continues, so you can call some whatever you want.
Mike, that's not anything that should be apologized for, considering that this is the most aggressive offseason that this team has ever had in their history. And they add all these players, some that are legitimate studs, the two tight ends in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, and they still don't have a quarterback. And so we now know. So again, last year, there was at least an excuse. And you could talk yourself into Cam Newton. I think we all did. Even I did. Hey, he's former MVP. He's had these surgeries. We'll see. At the very least, it'll be interesting. It was anything but. It was terrible. And so now he's back. And so now you know what he is. And we know what the ceiling is. And it ain't very high. Again, I'll ask. If he gets hurt in week one, like Tom Brady did in 08 against Kansas City, what's the plan? Is it Jarrett Stidham who's still here? Is it a quarterback you take day three in the draft? There's no plan. So going into the season with Cam as the starter is negligent from a business and management perspective.
I don't think they have a plan.
They are the most accomplished team in this millennium of the most important sports league in the country. Okay? In the country. And they don't have a quarterback.
And every time, you know, there's a new mock draft and they're trading up to draft some kid,
it bothers me.
Or there's some story about waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Or, well, what if Garoppolo's free next year? It's like every time that comes up, it's like, oh, yeah, they're just waiting to see what shakes out of the crap pile. And not that Aaron Rodgers is crap or Justin Fields, but you know what I mean. It's like every time there's some sort of story, some speculation about it, I'm reminded of it. They don't have a guy, and they have no path to a guy.
Correct.
It bothers me. Sorry to cut you off, Maz. It bothers me because young me would love it because I would be so into this because I would get my hopes up. And I know it's not going to happen. Just not, because at least if you draft a guy there, and maybe he isn't, you know, someone that pans out, but at least, again, I love when you draft a quarterback in the first round because it's someone you can hang hope on, and you need hope at the most important position in sports, at quarterback. And Cam Newton's not it, guys. He's not. I don't think Jarrett Stidham's the guy either. The team proved that last year when they couldn't even get him on the field. They didn't want to, and they stuck with Cam Newton. So if they did that and drafted a guy, great, but they're not going to.
Sorry, Murray. And I'll tell you that every time I hear, like, along the way, as you said, there are all these rumors. At one point, there was Russell Wilson even.
Right.
Like, oh, because if you check the base salaries, they're low. I think the Patriots just throw this stuff out there. Or, you know, and I say throw it out there like, well, yeah, you know, we sniffed around on everything. When they had no real intention of doing it, just to give people the impression that they actually are interested in elite talent that would cost a lot of money. But I don't think they really are. I incredibly, as I've said to you, if Patrick Mahomes were offered to them for a third-round pick right now, but you have to take the existing contract, I think they'd say no.
Toss-up. Not sure.
I think they would say no. I'm not joking.
Me neither. I don't think they believe in playing quarterbacks, those kind of contracts. I mean,
and that is, to me, is absolutely preposterous.
All right, so here we are. There's your reset. And we also did, as I said before, Edelman in the Hall fallout still on the table, too. Mike in Pembroke on the Patriots. Hi, Mike.
Hi, first time, long time. So basically, I've been hearing you guys. I listen to you guys every day. I think that Cam Newton is honestly going to be better this year. Those first three games last year, I watched all those games. He obviously stunk towards the end of the season, but he was on a roll those first three games. I think they're just going to be run heavy. I think they're just going to draft a quarterback in, like, the third round, and they're going to roll with him, and I think they're going to be, like, 10-7.
Okay, Cam Newton in a third-round pick. That sounds great.
Oh, terrific.
Yay.
Again, worst-case scenario, if you ask me.
Is Cam Newton going to be better? Probably. Like, that's not what. Why is that the dividing line? He was the 32nd-ranked quarterback in the league last year, or whatever, 30th?
Something like that.
He's going to be better. Like, okay, yes, so but what's he? But that's not the equation. He can't be much worse than the worst guy in the league. So, yes, he'll get better, maybe a little bit, maybe even more than a little bit. Is that the best guy that you can get?
No, because the question isn't whether he'll be better. It's what's your ceiling with him at quarterback versus someone else.
The question is what's the best you can do.
Exactly.
Not what's the best he can do. It's what the best you can do at the position.
Correct.
And you have not tried to be your best at the position.
No, and they've had plenty of opportunities. That's the frustrating part. There's been plenty of movement on the quarterback market. Look at all the guys who have moved, let alone all the talent available in the draft and the trades that has sort of triggered. And they still haven't gotten a guy. I mean, how much more of a favorable landscape could you get right now than what they've had with regard to quarterbacks?
Well, the two latest are trading up for Justin Fields or trading for Aaron Rodgers next year. Those are the two latest plans, I guess. Here's Mike and Quincy. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Big fan. Do you guys think that Edelman's going to get knocked for his regular season numbers alone, or will he have a legitimate chance to get in the Hall on his postseason numbers?
I don't think he's got a chance for the Hall on any numbers, but I don't know the Hall of Fame voting or the criteria. It's kind of nebulous in football, and from what I understand, he has no shot. So, like, I don't know what to tell you. I think folks around here kind of delude themselves into thinking he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's not as good as everyone here thinks he is. And when I say that, I mean in a historical context. Okay, we all know what he meant to the operation, but if you compare him to the great receivers of all time, no. He's not there.
I mean, I don't think so, but, I mean, who knows?
Again, I would put him in because I weight the postseason performances, but with his numbers, he won't get in.
Mary Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I've been hearing what you guys are saying, but, you know, and I understand Belichick's psychology is not to draft a quarterback high, but I think circumstances have changed, and I think you have to look at all the factors involved. I think Belichick is pretty adaptable, and I think that he knows that his window is narrowing. I mean, we've talked about he doesn't probably have more than 5 years to coach, and he wants to win now and catch Shula. And on top of that, he's got an obligation to the craft to set the team up for the future, not to mention the fact that his kids work there, and you know he wants to set them up as well. And finally, you have the whole embarrassment of what Brady did last year. So I think if you put all those factors together, it's almost like a perfect storm to where he might actually change his philosophy this year and grab a quarterback really high.
Let's see. Be fun if he did, Mary. I don't know if he's there yet. I mean, I've no indication. I mean, how would I know? Other than he brought back Cam Newton and he passed on all these other guys that would have been upgrades at the veteran ranks. So that just leads me to believe, and they haven't really done anything. Like the reporting is that they're just waiting for Garoppolo. They don't want to pay the price for Garoppolo. So I just sort of add it all up and say, well, Bill's just playing the same game. He's not going to overextend himself at that position. He doesn't believe in it. And that's just what I think right now. Hopefully he proves me wrong. But for him to draft Fields, you've got to convince me that it works for him psychologically. You know what I mean, Maz? Like,
of course.
This whole thing about if they trade up for a 22-year-old kid, it's like they're saying, we need you. You have to come. We're hitching our wagon to you.
It's a lot of pressure on a rookie.
And I just don't think Bill has any interest in doing that. Subjugating himself to some kid? Never mind if he doesn't want to subjugate himself to anybody.
Well, it hurts the narrative too, doesn't it? That if he were to do that and it hangs on the quarterback that we need you, especially a rookie quarterback, doesn't that kind of dent his legacy a little
yes.
bit?
Yes.
I just think Bill doesn't think that way.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what you're talking about, what Murray just said. Yeah. It's exactly what you're talking about. Honestly, I don't even think you have to include the trade up part. Just if he stays at 15 and takes a quarterback.
So I'm trying to work myself into, can he psychologically justify it at 15 the way he thinks, which is, and the way he could do it to Fields too is, look, man, you were dropping. We saved your ass. You owe me. You know, if it wasn't for us, you were dropping into the second round. You're going to be the biggest, you know, draft day drop since Warren Sapp, what, you know, whatever. We saved you. We saved you the embarrassment of having to come back here day two. So you owe me. I really think Bill's got to have this sort of hammer over someone to make a move like that.
Oh, so again, look, I think in terms of how he thinks with regard to the player, does it give him leverage over the player? Maybe. But don't you think in the court of public opinion, we would look at it and say, you just took a quarterback at 15. Like, you're not exactly sitting there, you know, sleeping on a street corner. You know, skimming the streets for trying to, you know, looking for something to eat.
Well, but what you're saying is that Bill still has to prove he can win with just an average quarterback.
Yes. It's like, you know, we are talking about the number 15 pick in the first round. We're not talking about the 15 pick in the sixth. You know, so I do think I told you I've come to the conclusion he's not taking a quarterback in the first round. I'm convinced of it now, because if he really wanted to do that, the smarter play would have been to move up.
I'd be surprised for sure. I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned if Aaron Rodgers was anything close to a realistic possibility. They've got a different quarterback in mind for next year, and it's not exactly Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you who it is right after this.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think they're going to move in this offseason, but there are some things that I think you have to pay attention to. First, Aaron Rodgers doesn't say things by mistake, and he's repeated himself over and over and over again. That he's not sure if he's going to finish his career there. So we should listen to what he's saying. You know, one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers said what he said the day after the season is because he looked across the sideline, saw the way the Buccaneers built around Tom Brady, and said to himself, I want my team to build with that sort of urgency. So I'm going to try and put pressure on the Green Bay Packers as best I can. And that, I think that's the root of what we've heard from him.
I really think it could happen, because this is playing out identically to the way things played out with Tom Brady. Identically. They have a player who's getting older, who can be a little bit difficult in the care and feeding at this juncture. They've drafted a younger player. Rodgers has already responded by beating back that challenge. Now, this is where the Patriots stubbed their toe. They stuck with Brady, but they didn't re-up him. Will the Packers get to the same point? Will they just say, we're not even going to stick with him. We're going to move on to Jordan Love. Then the conversation parochially becomes, do the Patriots want to re-up and say, you know what, we probably screwed it up with our last old quarterback who was still really good. Maybe we go after this one.
Again, that's Kern and Breer there on NBC Sports Boston. Everything they're saying from the Green Bay and Rodgers perspective is right. Yes, Rodgers is probably going to be available next year. Writing's on the wall. Yeah, he could be available. It's going to be a trade, so the Packers are going to want some high draft picks. Aaron Rodgers wants to get paid. He's not one of these guys that typically leaves money on the table. And so now you have to give up high draft picks to Green Bay, tens of millions of dollars to Aaron Rodgers, and he's a handful, and he really just wants to be a game show host. I don't see how that works for Bill Belichick. I see Rodgers potentially shaking free. Yes. I see in no way, shape, or form does he come to you on your terms, which is, it still feels to me like what you're looking for, someone to come to you on your terms. Aaron Rodgers is a typical my terms kind of guy, so I just don't see it.
Yeah, and so even if it were to come to fruition, and the same thing with Garoppolo shaking free, you're punting on 2021? Like, that's the part that bugs me.
Yeah, yes, that, absolutely.
It should bug you, Murray. Because, again, it's not like they haven't had enough time to figure it out. So they get to this stage, and their solution was, let's re-up Cam Newton and take a guy on day two or day three of the draft. Like, to me, that's worst-case scenario. Given where they were, that was the worst-case scenario. They keep Cam Newton and don't take a guy early in the first.
So not only is it not going to be Aaron Rodgers, it's probably going to be Cam Newton. And as further just something to jar us loose, I'm not going to say evidence, but Mike Reese sort of writes a whole thing today on ESPN.com about Cam Newton's year last year and how you can really explain some of it away or excuse some of it or have reason to believe it's going to be better. And he goes through pretty much all of it. Like, for example, one, he can't throw anymore. Some of Newton's misses were so bad, Mike writes, bouncing at the feet of receivers, they overshadowed his on-the-mark throws. He also had 13 passes batted down at the line of scrimmage, tied for second most in the NFL behind Ben Roethlisberger. Newton did complete 65.8% of his passes last season, the second-best mark of his career. Tom Brady, in his final season in New England, completed only 60.8% of his passes. In the week two loss to the Seattle Seahawks, for example, Newton delivered 28 accurate passes. Those deemed in film review to be hitting pass catchers in a catchable window so they could make a play after the reception. That was some of the best of Newton. Bounced by games against the 49ers and Bills in which he was pulled in the second half because they were blowouts and the passing game wasn't functioning at an acceptable level. Or, it put another way, he absolutely sucked, couldn't get out of his own way. But again, you've heard some of this as well, right? That he actually threw some nice balls, that the bad balls overshadowed the good ones. If you're a good quarterback, shouldn't most of them be good?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you're a good quarterback, the bad balls shouldn't overshadow the good ones. That's sort of the, I would say that's sort of the critical sentence there.
There's just a few here or there. And
right.
I mean, no one's perfect, but if you're a good quarterback, the vast majority of throws are good throws.
Yes, the level of play from Cam Newton last year was not consistently good. Fact.
And the 13 batted down balls? Whose fault was that?
His.
Yeah, that would be his.
He throws down here.
Yeah, and wait till he's got Trent Brown in front of him.
And he doesn't exactly read the defenses very well.
Correct.
And I don't think his pocket mobility is very good. It's not like he's shifty back there.
The ball comes out on a downward plane.
So again, look, we say this a lot, right? I don't blame Reese. I don't blame Curran. I don't blame Bedard.
Please make that clear. I'm not bashing these guys.
No, because the information ultimately, there's some sort of spin or perspective coming out of the organization, which is really the critical part.
Team talking points.
And this one goes to the end of the football season, too, because it's an important one that I think has to be this idea that Cam Newton had a better percentage, completion percentage, than Brady did last year.
Whew.
Okay, how many times have we heard that now?
I mean,
yeah,
some.
Okay, a lot. What happened to points are all that matter and stats are for losers? What happened to that?
What happened to your eyes?
Right.
Who would you? Did it feel like Cam Newton was more accurate than Tom Brady in his last year?
No, not at all.
Who would you rather have playing quarterback?
Look, if you want to get on Brady for anything his last year, maybe it was his attitude. Maybe the reason he had a 60% completion percentage is because half the time he dropped back there, no one was open, and he was sick of the whole thing. He chucked it into the ground. He did that a lot, or threw it out of bounds. I don't know. If you watched him, Mike did. I'm not mocking him, but it's like we've watched the guys play. Brady on his worst day is more accurate than Cam Newton on his best. We all know it. So please, like, that number is kind of useless to me.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, even this past year, I think Newton was a tick higher. Brady was 65.7, Newton was 65.8 or whatever it is.
Oh, even this year?
Yes! Yes, so like just look at that and say, so what is that? Is there even any comparison to make based on that stat between the two players?
So Mike says Newton also didn't have enough weapons. That's strong evidence. Belichick believes he didn't give Newton the best chance to succeed last season. So while the Patriots ranked 32nd in touchdown passes and 30th in passing yards, which by extension reflects on Newton, it's not out of the question that it could look different with better pieces around him this season. No, so of course, like again, it should look better. It probably will look better. That should be your threshold. Your threshold should be, have we gotten the best player we possibly could at this most important position? That's it.
Oh, listen, I could drop 10 pounds and get a hair weave. I'll look better, but it doesn't mean I'm good looking.
Now that's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. Right. I could still get 50% faster than I am right now. I'll still be the slowest guy you've ever seen
there
in your life.
There you go.
Like, what does that mean?
I mean, where are we starting on that one?
Bob Sosi could grow 6 inches, and he's still going to be a little fella.
He'll still be 5'4".
Mike Reese writes, we could keep going with this, couldn't we?
Yes.
Does he still have the arm strength to throw deep? He's talking about Newton.
Nope.
Mike writes, one notable throw from last season, and I remember this one, was the Hail Mary attempt. At the end of a 27-20 loss to the Houston Texans on November 22nd. Remember this one? He got to the 10-yard line.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Instead of stepping up, and Newton sort of, he actually lost sight of where the line of scrimmage was. He threw it way behind the line of scrimmage, like, because he just had no sense. And he was still way short, and so all of this. Anyway, he said, instead of stepping up to the 38, Newton unleashed his attempt from the 34, and it came down 10 yards shy of the end zone. So he isn't exactly Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen for that matter. You don't say. But Mike writes, in the same game, Newton lofted one of his best deep balls of the year, a 42-yard high arcing rainbow to Damir Bird that went for a touchdown. Remember that throw?
I do. Yeah, and I still don't think it was a great throw.
So does that mean that now Newton has the arm strength and he can throw it deep?
No.
No.
The guy can't throw. I'm serious. We watched him play.
Who was the... There's an immediate counter to this. His last year with the Panthers, who's the quarterback that you liked, Maz, that's now with Washington?
Ryan Allen. Is that his name?
No.
Kyle Allen.
Whoever it was.
Kyle Allen, not Ryan Allen. Allen.
They would bring him in for Hail Marys. They'd bring him in for Hail Marys. He can't do it.
Oh, for Cam Newton, you're saying they did that his last year in Carolina?
Yeah.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen, thank you.
Whoever the hell. And again, the headline to Mike Reese's piece, will Cam Newton bounce back? ? The answer could determine the Patriots' 2021 fate. Like, talking about the whole thing, like, he's the guy, and this is how it's going to be better.
Yeah, again, this isn't Mike, but reading this today, I was like, these are the team talking points. This is the final essay on why you, the fan, and you, media person, you that walk and that watch the team, that cover the team, you need to accept it's Cam Newton. And I have. I've gone through the five stages of grief with Cam Newton's return. After reading this column today, I've accepted it. It's going to be Cam Newton again.
How would you like to be Robert Kraft and ask yourself that question and read that headline? You just spent $250 million or whatever, and I can never get the exact number right, but whatever it is, somewhere in that area, you just spent a crap ton of money on fortifying your roster. And Mike Reese writes, the success of the team might depend on Cam Newton. That is rich. That is rich. Oh, so I spent all that money and we're going to flip a coin and see if this guy can play? Like,
I mean, I apologize that we keep circling back to this, but how can't you? How can you not circle back to this anytime you just think about it for a second?
Mike, it's the biggest question in town. And honestly, I would say it's a runaway. The only thing that I think is, you know, approaching significant news this week is Taylor Hall. That's a big move for the Bruins.
But, I mean, it just, you circle back to this and you still say to yourself, I think they butchered this thing.
I think
they butchered it. And we're still in the middle of it. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no path to the next guy.
Mike, they did butcher it. They did butcher it. The question is whether they can get their way out of it.
Here's Big Jim Murray's update, and we're right back with your phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Calls as promised. Here's Nick in Plymouth on Aaron Rodgers. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, I don't want Aaron Rodgers in New England. Like, seriously, he had so many good receivers and a great tight end that came out of nowhere. He literally has Devontae Adams, who, you know, dropped the ball quite a few times. Obviously, the guy is not clutch, and that's the biggest difference between Rodgers and Brady. He just doesn't know how to perform when the big time comes.
You don't want Aaron Rodgers. Who do you want?
Honestly, a game manager. Anybody that knows how to play clutch and can play with other players. You look at Aaron Rodgers, and he's had some great receivers in the whole time he's been in the NFL. But he's made one Super Bowl and is more happy with MVP than he is getting to the Super Bowl.
So, Nick, thank you for the call. It's going to sound like I'm ripping you, but I don't mean to. I think it's stupid if you don't want Aaron Rodgers. It's one thing for me, like as a Packers fan, to be frustrated that he hasn't won as much as I would have liked. And he hasn't. And it's frustrating that he just gets close and, you know, can't get over the edge, you know, can't get over the threshold and just hasn't won the big one as much as he should have. It's another thing to say you wouldn't want him. Like, that's kind of dumb.
That's insanity is what that is. I mean, we can all agree he's infinitely talented, and you pair him with Belichick, even if he is a bit of a diva. Like, I don't know. He would have a hair. He's got a hair across his ass. He wants out of Green Bay. That's evident. You'd get the best out of him here.
You wouldn't want to see a great player who's come up just short next to Bill Belichick to see if he can get him over? Just that last edge that he has had trouble getting over? You wouldn't want to see that? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
So, look, my issue with that is I don't think the Patriots would do it. That's, you know.
I don't think they'd want to spend the money it would take to do it.
That's sort of what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, look, the one thing he said, though, you know, with Rodgers, the irony is that in the Rams game before the Tampa game, I thought Rodgers was a game manager. He was really good in that game. He took the simple throw. He made the right decision. He was really good. And then a week later, like, I don't know what the hell happened. But, look, he likes to freelance. There's no question about it.
Peyton Manning was a choker. You wouldn't like to have seen Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick work together?
At this stage, anybody but Cam Newton.
Let's not get stupid, okay?
See, because if you're using Brady as the standard, like you say, the difference between Rodgers and Brady, as the caller said.
No one stacks up.
Right.
No one.
Nobody's good like Brady was in the final 2 minutes, with the possible exception of Montana and Elway.
Jake at Curry College on Taylor Hall. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, boys? So I just wanted to say, like, most of the teams that Taylor Hall has been on, he's kind of been looked at as, like, you know, the guy, or at least one of the guys offensively. But coming here, you're, you know, next to world-class players like Bergeron and Marchand, Pastrnak, McAvoy. So I think that it'll be a good role for him to kind of, like, have something to prove here. And I think that that's what'll make it work out well. Mike, also, you had a take a few weeks ago about, like, you don't care about local guys being on the team. And I get that, but, like, you have to understand, they would be idiots to not be scouting in this area. This is a hotbed for talent. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
I mean, a hotbed for talent. You mean like Canada? I mean, I don't know. Like, what's a bigger hotbed for hockey talent?
I mean, this guy's compared it to other places in America, in the United States.
Correct. Yes, I'd rather be scouting Boston than Tampa. Correct. But when you talk about hotbed of talent, I sort of consider Canada the hotbed of hockey talent.
And if he means the schools, especially the Beanpot schools or even UMass now, like, okay, I get it. But if you're talking about, like, you know, Al from Saugus, like, what do
no,
you
no,
mean?
No. But even there are a few too many local guys. It's like they seem to prioritize that. I don't know.
Yeah, but Felga, Sweeney can't get into Canada right now because of COVID. It's
like, I saw this guy at hockey town the other night, kid.
There's also a lot of good players in, I don't know, Finland. You could go there, too. You don't just got to go up Commonwealth Avenue to pick your players.
He was, Murray. He was awesome. He was at Hockey Town. Then I saw him afterwards at Kelly's.
The thing with Taylor Hall is that he shouldn't have something to prove here. I mean, in other words, he shouldn't have to have this burden of being the guy, and that should help him. Like, the caller sort of confused the two things. Being behind Bergeron, being behind, you know, Pastrnak and Marchand, it's not his team. So he shouldn't have to feel that burden if he's ever felt it before. That should help him. As Cassidy said this morning on TNR, just play. Just play. Never mind the fact you're not going to get the top D pair every night. You're not going to be on the first line. You may not even be on the first power play. I mean, who knows? But, you're not going to get that big defensive assignment every night. So that's going to be different for him, and it should help him.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a big part of it, actually. Again, because it's all about matchups. So let's say he has slipped a little, you know, because he had a knee injury at some point or something too, right?
I'm not super familiar with it, but
okay, so I think he's had some sort of knee thing, and maybe he hasn't been the same player since or whatever. But regardless, they don't need him to be a first-line player. They need him to be a second-line player. I'm intrigued by it. I am. I'd be lying if I told you I weren't intrigued by it. I am. I want to see the guy play here. Because he's got ability, and he's got enough ability still to get 25 goals.
Okay, so we got this Patriots stuff, and still, Taylor Hall fallout from the trade yesterday. His debut tonight, which you'll hear on 98.5 The Sports Hub, coming at 7 o'clock. And we continue with your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Well, his attack mentality. He can back defensemen off. He can beat them one-on-one with his speed and his skill. He's got a great wrist shot, you know, more than, you know, like Pasta has the one-timer. Marshy's more of a wrist shot guy. So I'd put him more in that Marshy category where he's a really good one-on-one player. Can really fly in off the wing. Once he gets separation, you're not catching him. And he can finish. You know, he doesn't need four or five chances. Now, having said that, this year seems to be one of those years where that's happening, where they're not going in as much. So is that, you know, a player that having a tough year, or is that just as you, you know, get a little bit older, they don't go in as much? I don't know. I can't answer that because, you know, he wasn't with us all year. So what we're hoping, obviously, is his numbers kind of go back to where they're historically been, the shooting percentages and his ability to finish, and maybe playing against the second pair D, because don't forget, everywhere he's been, he's always, you know, circled on the other team's locker room. Hey, we got to shut this guy down. So now he's got, like I said, Marshy, another left winger that teams are focusing on. So that might make a, you know, a little bit easier matchup wise for him. So we'll see how it plays out.
There's Cassidy on Taylor Hall. You'll see him tonight. You'll hear him tonight. 98.5 The Sports Hub with the puck drop at 7. It's exciting to see what he's going to look like.
Oh, like, I'm not joking. To me, this is a significant in-season pickup. Like, I want to see what it looks like. This guy's a real player.
You were asking Mike earlier in the show, when's the last time there's been a player like this that they acquired? You know, there's been buzz like this. What about a Ginla?
Yeah, so I thought that. He was so at the end.
Yeah. Same with Jágr, too, I guess, but still in name.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rick Nash was the closest, but he didn't have quite the name. You know, and he was a force, too. I think he was an MVP, wasn't he? Did Nash win the MVP too?
I mean, I know he had 40-plus in at least one season.
I'm not sure if he won the MVP or not, but he, you know, you give up a first-round pick and a real defensive prospect for him. So that was even a bigger trade than this one, except Nash didn't quite have the, you know, the name quality of Taylor. He wasn't a first overall pick. We all know him from the Sagan year. And also, Nash wasn't quite as notorious as Hall. I think that's what gives Hall a little bit of juice, is that, you know, he's sort of, his resume is spotty. He's got some baggage.
There was some buzz around Cabrillet when they got him.
And this guy's 29,
and
right?
So maybe that's it. He's in his prime. He's in his absolute prime.
I mean, if you hit on this player and are able to re-sign him, you could have him for 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about like a significant change to your operation here.
All right. So your phone's on this and our football topics. Jay in West Warwick. Hi, Jay.
Hello, I'm calling. I'm just interested in Charlie McAvoy. I wonder what you think of him being like on the number one unit in the power play. I know he's got a lot of ice time, but I think he's got so much offensive skills that, you know, I just wonder what you think of.
Yeah, I think Grizzly's pretty good back there, and I don't know. If I play McAvoy on that first power play, do I play him less 5-on-5? That would scare me. I think a bigger issue they have is sort of the pairs. When everyone's healthy and it's McAvoy and Grizzlick, they're terrific, but that's sort of like their forward group. That leaves the other two defensive pairs, you know, they suck. So you got to spread them out a little bit. I liked McAvoy and Lozon when that was going early on in the year. I thought that worked, but Lozon's game has dropped off so much. I wonder if this Mike Riley's going to play in there. I mean, they got to figure that out.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's actually, it looked really good in the first couple weeks of the year. Excuse me, and it's kind of fallen apart.
Is Riley playing tonight?
I think he is.
Yeah, the only one that's questionable is
Kevin Miller?
No. Miller's questionable, but Lazar is because he's got like a soft tissue.
Oh, the new
guy.
Yeah.
New guy. But no, Riley should be in there. Here's Matthew in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, so I just want to respond to what you guys were saying earlier about Tuukka Rask and Bruce Cassidy's comments about him this morning. Seemed like you guys didn't necessarily agree with what Cassidy said, but he's totally right. In 2019 in the playoffs, Tuukka Rask was by far the best player on the ice. He had a better save percentage and a better winning percentage than Tim Thomas did in 2011. He had a 1.89
goal. Hey, caller.
Yeah.
Would you really take Tuukka Rask in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals over Tim Thomas?
The reality is...
No. I'm not asking about the number. I'm not asking about the number. I'm just asking you, just two guys talking. Who would you take? Game 7, win the Stanley Cup, Tuukka Rask or Tim Thomas? Who would you take?
Probably Tim Thomas.
Okay.
But if you're talking about the overall product, in 2019, Tuukka Rask did not lose his head, and he was your best player, and Game 7 loss was not on him.
Okay.
And
would you take Aaron Rodgers? Would you take Aaron Rodgers?
In an instant.
Okay.
I'd sell my old, my firstborn son for Aaron Rodgers.
There you go, Matt. At least you're consistent that,
yeah.
there, right?
He's sane. You know, I mean, he's sane.
Because his previous caller's like, well, I wouldn't take Aaron Rodgers. He's a choker. Yeah, this guy, I'll take Tuukka Rask because his overall numbers and body of work is such. Well, there's some similarities there.
Yeah, so look, again, and I happen to agree with that. Rask was great that postseason. Okay, but if you're asking me, Game 7, Tim Thomas had the same spot, pitched a shutout on the road at Vancouver.
He gave up one goal in the last two games of the Stanley Cup Finals, down two games.
He was on a mission that year. He was on a freaking mission.
Never mind Game 7 against Tampa, where he must have stopped. If you've ever gone back and watched that brilliant, wonderful hockey game, he must have stopped like six or seven breakaways. It's all Tampa got. You were all over Tampa the entire game, in their zone, in their zone, in their zone, and then they have a breakaway and he'd save it. And you'd fire off shot after shot after shot after that on that old dude in Tampa. Was it Rolson?
Yeah, right.
Okay, Rolison. Shot after shot after shot after shot. They'd have a breakaway. He'd save it. So, I mean, yeah, Tuukka's had a better career than Tim Thomas. He's had a longer career than Tim Thomas. Statistically, you could say he's a better goalie than Tim Thomas. Ask yourself honestly, in your heart of hearts, who would you take?
Thomas played with a chip on his shoulder. He had it his whole career, and he especially had it in that series against Vancouver.
So we had a few calls on Cassidy's comments this morning on Touch and Rich on Tuukka Rask. You can hear the full interview, 98.5thesportshub.com or on the app. But here's that sequence.
You know, Tuukka had a personal issue last year. We backed him up 100%. You know, it was an unfortunate timing for the Bruins, but family comes first. So we moved on from that in a hurry. You know, the previous year, he went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and arguably our best player throughout the playoffs. So tough to knock him that particular year. I mean, Game 7, going back, I thought we were the better team early in the game. We just didn't finish. They did. Give them credit. They were able to win the biggest game of the year. We weren't quite there, but it certainly wasn't on Tuukka. And then going back, I think there was something to do with the Ottawa game. I wasn't here then, so I can't speak to why he didn't play that game. So I disagree with that. I mean, Tuukka has had a few injuries and obviously a couple of setbacks where he wasn't able to play, but I don't think it's something that psychologically is going on in his head where he's planning out ahead of time, hey, I'm going to kind of screw my teammates here. It's just the way it's worked a little bit. And this injury, again, it's tough to – guys get hurt. You know, he came back a little too soon. Is that his fault? Is that the medical team's fault? Is that bad luck? I don't know. But at the end of the day, we want to get him right for the stretch here because I think every team would tell you, you need your number one goalie.
So, I mean, I didn't find it that ringing of endorsement. I just think he said what he had to say about him. But I don't know, if you read it another way, you read it another way. Here's what I'll say on Tuukka Rask. He needs a Stanley Cup. He needs to win it. Otherwise, I'm sorry, I just don't look at you the same way. He's had chances to win it and do it, and he hasn't done it. Fact. And you could say they weren't the better team against the Blackhawks. You could say they had puck luck issues against St. Louis. The fact is he was there with a chance to carry the team, which goalies do. That's not unusual. When Bruce Cassidy said he was our best player in 2019, Well, that's never happened. The goalie's never been a Stanley Cup finalist's best player, has it ever? Has that ever happened before? Or does it happen just about every single time that the goalie's one of the best players or the best player? Like, that didn't mean anything to me. Win one. And then we can end the whole thing. And, until you do, I look at you differently. So that's still the way I look at it with Rask, and I have no faith in him.
And you know what? Whenever someone says, talking about a player's past, I wasn't here for that. I always think it's a cop-out. I always do. And I know he wasn't here for it. And I'm not asking him to rip him for it. But I think he knows what happened. Of course he knows what happened. Even if he wasn't there, people he trusts in the organization have told him what has happened. So I'm not surprised he defended his player. And if you're asking me, I think they want Tuukka back. I think that they look at it and say our best chance is to get Tuukka back and healthy and playing at a high level. That's our best chance, so they're focused on that.
I think their best chance is to have this rookie catch fire and ride him. That's their best chance. Tuukka's a good goalie. If he decides to not quit this year, then they have a chance. And if he plays well, if he plays to his level and doesn't bail, yeah, that's a good situation. I hope he does that. I hope he carries it all the way through to the Stanley Cup. Who would I rather have? I'd rather have that other guy get hot. So a final hour of your calls. You can, again, do the Taylor Hall thing if you want. You can do our Patriots conversation today. We circle back to Julian Edelman and more quarterback reporting, which just have us concluding that they really have no plan and no path to the next quarterback. That's really what we've arrived at. What do you think? 617-779-0985 to you right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.